Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Farming has changed a great deal since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. It is true, farmers still battle thorns and thistles as they toil the soil by the sweat of their brow. But the days are long gone of using oxen and horses to plow the fields, and then all of the hand labor, sowing the seed and the harvesting of the grain and the threshing. Those days are pretty much gone. Today, the average American father invests over $1 million in equipment to toil the earth more efficiently. Technology is utilized, sowing the seed at precise depths and correct spacing to maximize return on investment. You see, sowing too close or too far apart or too deep or too shallow inhibits profits. It reduces the yield. Working the fields, though, is still hard work. But as we notice in Scripture, when Jesus works the harvest fields, he never seems to tire. In our gospel text, Jesus is pressing on with his work of sowing his pure seed of salvation. Earlier in the day, he had healed a demon-possessed man, and then he had debated the scribes and the Pharisees. And just as he was about to take a break down at the edge of the sea, the crowds gathered around him once again. So Jesus did what he always did. He began to teach. He sat down in a boat and began to teach using parables. In our parable today, the sower is Christ Jesus, and the seed is his word. His seed is precious. It is life-giving. But unlike the American farmer and you and I, as we plant our own garden in the backyard, Jesus is not particular where he sows. He sows indiscriminately and haphazardly. He sows on the hardened paths, on the rocky ground, and even amongst the thorns. Jesus is sowing for a harvest in places that you and I would never expect anything to grow. He doesn't only sow to those who appear to have their life together. And he doesn't reach out merely to just those who have enough finances to fund his ministry on earth. He sows his seed of salvation far and wide, broadcasting it out to all mankind, because he will die for all mankind. He believes that all come to faith in him, that all be saved. You see, the ways of God and his rich mercy and grace are much greater than human understanding of efficiency. And this is an important point for the Church of Christ on earth today. As we go out to evangelize, we need to follow Jesus' example, because it's always a really big temptation to study the demographic and look for which niche market we want to go after. Some will target a demographic and they'll call themselves a family church or a hipster church or even a country club church. And this is dangerous because it has the Christian directing God's word to a certain class of people, cutting off all of the others. Now, I understand it's much easier to approach people that you're comfortable with. It's easier to approach those who are not among the thorns and the weeds, those who do not have rocks and boulders in their life. We prefer to go after those who we have much in common with, those who have much to contribute toward the church, those with little or no issues. We go after those who are ready to get involved and contribute rather than those carrying baggage who need extra grace and tender loving care. But the sower in the parable, he does not discriminate. He sows his word all over the map. All ears, unbelieving and believing, need to be called to repentance by the full sternness of God's law. And this prepares the hearts and the ears for the soothing comfort of the saving word of the gospel, giving God's assurance of forgiveness of sins. And this also includes you and me. All soil, that is, all hearts, are under attack. Since Christ has already declared victory over sin, death, and the devil, Satan can no longer attack the Lord of the church. So he goes after those whom Christ has died for. Again, including you and me. When the seed is sown, the evil one comes and he attempts to snatch away what has been sown in your heart. He attacks you with trials and tribulations and persecutions, all on account of Christ's word. He attempts to deceive you and draw you away from the gospel and draw you into the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of the flesh. Your heart and mine are ripe for the picking. Your heart becomes hardened when you don't feel like you need weekly word and sacrament. Your heart is rocky ground when it demands its own way and not loving neighbor as self. Satan sends out his thorns to scratch and prick your flesh, making you hateful, spiteful, and wanting vengeance. His temptations drag you way off into the weeds, and he hopes that out there you will lose your way to hearing and understanding God's word. But dear Christian, take heart. Wherever God's pure seed is sown, it always accomplishes its purpose. Just as the rain and the snow fall from the sky, before they're evaporated back up, they do the Lord's work. They water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, providing seed for the sower and your daily bread for the hungry. So it is too with God's word. It never returns to him empty. It does not return void. It accomplishes and succeeds the purpose for which it was sent. Now, to be sure, while the Lord calls all mankind to himself in his word, and he wants everyone to come and receive his free gift of salvation, not everyone will hear his word and come to faith, because Satan is lurking nearby, hoping to snatch away that seed. You know from planting your own garden, you can plant two identical seeds side by side in the soil. One will produce a great crop, and the other appears never to grow. Well, so too it is with God's word. The same seed that is sown in the hearts of two children, they hear the same gospel sermons preached, they're taught by the same parents, catechized by the same pastor. One will come to faith, and unfortunately the other may follow after the evil ways of the world. But that doesn't stop the Lord. He continues to sow to and fro. He broadcasts his seed far and wide to everyone, calling all to listen to his word diligently. His life-giving word calls all mankind to repentance, to receive his forgiveness, that they may too bear abundant fruit. Now, I don't know if you noticed in our gospel lesson this morning, the text begins at the beginning of the chapter, and there's a section missing right in the middle. And unfortunately, the part that they cut out has Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." But the disciples were blessed. How did they become that way? Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." The ability to truly hear and understand God's word has been given. It's a gift of grace that only comes by God through the Holy Spirit. And before you say, "But Pastor, that's only for the disciples in the text," you are also are a disciple of Jesus. The biblical definition of a disciple is a learner, a pupil, an apprentice. You see, you became a disciple of Jesus in the holy waters of baptism, where God called you his own. You became his disciple when you were brought to faith through the preached word of the gospel. And as his disciple, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it has been given you the ability to hear and understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Your eyes can see, and your ears can hear. As we discussed earlier in Bible study, God didn't sow his seed in you because he thought that you were ripe and fertile ground. No, he sowed it in you because he loves you, and he wished for your salvation. And when he sowed his seed in you, he didn't sow it in the fertile ground because your heart is the most dead and disgusting soil possibly to sow seed into. It's rocky and hard and thorny. It was condemned and dead soil. But God's seed, his holy word, doesn't require fertile soil. Just as God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence out of nothing by his word, God's word creates new soil, perfect soil to receive his seed. God's word recreates the hard paths, the rocky paths, and the thorny paths. He recreates them into fields of salvation. His holy seed carries the good news of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Jesus came down from heaven, the Word made flesh, and accomplished that for which he was sent, claiming victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus came to carry your crop of sin and condemnation to the cross, where he suffered in your place, so that by his sacrifice, you might have eternal life. The sower comes to you and he dwells in you. He dwells in his word and sacrament. We already said he sowed his seed in you in the waters of baptism, regenerating and recreating you into a new being, reconciling you with the Father. And his seed continues to be planted by his word and sacrament, right here in the preaching of his word. The word recreates your faith and strengthens it unto life everlasting. He feeds you and nourishes you in the eating and drinking of his body and blood in his supper. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God's seed indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Thanks be to God. He sows his seed in abundance. He sows it here in word and sacrament, and it does not return to him void. It does not return empty. It succeeds in doing the very purpose that he set it out to do. And Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." The Holy Spirit has opened your ears and given you the ability to understand his word. And today you can have confidence that God's word is powerful and effective unto life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.